When I first took Morgan to the mall that day, the air was thick with the scent of cinnamon and pine. The bustling crowd, the twinkling lights, and the cheery Christmas music were enough to bring out the child in anyone. Morgan's eyes sparkled with excitement as he tugged at my hand, pointing eagerly at every display we passed.
"Granny, look!"
he exclaimed delightedly.
"It's Santa!"
There he was, right by the towering Christmas tree. Santa Claus himself. Or at least some man dressed as Santa. A group of giggling children surrounded him, each waiting their turn to sit on his lap and tell him their Christmas wishes. Morgan was no different. As we approached, I couldn't help but notice something unsettling about the man. His Santa suit was immaculate, but his eyes didn't have that jolly twinkle I remembered from when I was a child. Instead, they seemed cold, detached. But I pushed that thought aside, chalking it up to my overactive imagination. After all, I was an old woman, and sometimes I saw things that others couldn't.
"Go on, dear,"
I encouraged Morgan, even though my stomach twisted in knots.
"Go say hi."
Morgan clapped and excitedly waddled his way to the podium. Santa guffawed as he placed him on his lap. But the next seconds, Morgan's face changed. His smile faltered, eyes widened, and I swear I saw the color drain from his cheeks.
"Morgan?"
I gasped softly, but he didn't respond. His tiny hands were clenched into fists as the man grinned down at him, too wide, too forced. Then Morgan flinched. It was subtle, but I saw it. A small, almost imperceptible jerk, as if something had startled him. The picture was taken in a flash, and then the man leaned in close to Morgan's ear. I couldn't hear what he whispered, but I saw the way my grandson's body cowered. The man's smile never wavered as he set Morgan down on the ground and picked another kiddo.
"Thank you, Santa,"
I said, trying to keep my voice steady. Morgan curled his cold palms around my fingers and dragged us out. He didn't say a word all the way home. The sparkle in his eyes had died. His little body was rigid with fear. It wasn't until we got back that I noticed how pale he'd become, the way his skin seemed almost translucent. That night, he wouldn't go to bed. He insisted on sleeping in mine, and no matter how much his parents or I coaxed or comforted him, he wouldn't stop shaking. Morgan was terrified of something, or someone. When his mother found him the next morning, curled up on my bed, feverish and mumbling in his sleep, our hearts nearly stopped. He kept muttering,
"Don't touch me, don't touch me,"
over and over again, his voice so weak and broken that it made my chest tighten with dread. Morgan's fever broke after 2 days, but the shivering remained. When we tried to talk to him about Christmas, he screamed so loud the neighbors came. His eyes were wild with terror. "Mom, is there something you want to tell us?" my son asked after he had tucked Morgan into bed.
"Don't worry. I'll take care of it,"
I promised. There was only one explanation. Whatever that man had done, it was enough to scar my grandson deeply. I couldn't just sit back and do nothing, not when I knew something was so horribly wrong. So, on the night before Christmas, I went back to the mall. I wanted to confront the man, to see for myself what kind of monster had terrified my sweet boy. The mall was quieter than before. The festive chaos was replaced with a more subdued atmosphere. But there he was, still sitting in that same chair, still grinning at every child he placed on his lap. I observed him from a distance. Everything was usual at first. He'd pick kids, laugh, and promise them presents. But then I saw it. He had scooped a little girl around Morgan's age into his arms. She was telling him something when his palm wrapped around her tiny thighs and pinched her. Then he leaned in to whisper something in her ear. The girl's face went ashen, her tiny mouth quivering as she held back tears. That monster. I stormed over, grabbed a large candy cane decoration from the corner, and without a second thought, brought it down hard on that man's head. He recoiled, a look of shock on his face as I hit him again and again until the security intervened.
"You freak!"
I screamed for everyone to hear. The security stormed in and took him away. The parents reported everything to the authorities. Later, I found out he'd been arrested and charged with multiple counts of child endangerment. But even as they led him away in handcuffs, he turned and smiled at us. No, not at me, but through me, as if he could see something I couldn't. And that's when I realized the man in the Santa suit wasn't just some pervert or creep. He was something far worse, something evil that thrived on the vulnerability of children, on their innocence and trust. And even though he was gone, I couldn't shake the knowledge that somewhere around the world, another Morgan might be subjected to the same trauma. Because evil like that doesn't just go away. It lingers, waiting for the next chance to strike, to spread in like darkness. And now, every time I close my eyes, I see that smile, that terrible, monstrous grin, and I know deep down that this Christmas won't be the last we hear of devils like them. Christmas used to be my favorite time of year. The lights, the music, the cold air filled with the promise of snow, it all used to make me feel like a kid again. But that was before last winter, before the night in the cabin that changed everything. Now, whenever the holiday season rolls around, I'm filled with a deep, gnawing dread, and it all comes down to one thing, Santa Claus. It started innocently enough. My girlfriend Molly, our friends Nancy and Buck, and I decided to rent a cabin in the woods for a cozy Christmas getaway. The place was straight out of a horror movie, wooden, creaky, and nestled in the middle of nowhere. Buck even joked that it gave off Evil Dead vibes. We all laughed it off, figuring every cabin in the woods felt that way. While Molly and Nancy struggled to get a fire going in the ancient fireplace, Buck busied himself with dinner preparations. I didn't have much to do, so I wandered around the cabin, taking in the rustic surroundings. That's when I heard it, a hollow thud beneath my foot as I stepped on a corner of the living room. Curious, I crouched down and noticed a small metal hook embedded in the wooden floor.
"Hey guys, check this out," I called over, and soon all four of us were huddled around as I tugged at the hook.
With a creak, a hidden trapdoor swung open, revealing a dark, musty basement beneath the cabin. None of us were particularly eager to explore it, but we were too intrigued not to. The basement was filled with the kind of old junk that you'd expect, rusted tools, moldy boxes, and broken furniture. But then, we found something strange. A cardboard box labeled Confidential. Inside were a bunch of old videotapes, each one marked with an asset code like Sub 10 and Sub 12. Thankfully, the cabin had an old VCR, so we decided to watch one of the tapes. Buck popped in the tape labeled Sub 12, and we all settled onto the dusty couch to see what it was. The screen flickered to life, showing grainy footage of a man dressed as Santa Claus. He stood in front of the camera, in what looked like the very living room we were sitting in, and started singing,
"Jingle Bells!"
At first, we laughed at how bizarre and creepy it was, a Santa singing to an empty room in this creepy old cabin. But the laughter quickly died when Santa suddenly stopped singing. He stared directly into the camera, his eyes dark and hollow. And then he spoke.
"Can you hear her crying?"
We all froze. The room seemed to drop 10 degrees as Santa slowly panned the camera to the other side of the room. There, tied to a chair, was a woman. She looked terrified. Her clothes were torn, a large chunk of her hair was missing, and her eyes were wide with fear. My stomach turned, and I could hear Nancy gasp beside me. Santa began to hum the
Jingle Bells
tune again, this time more slowly, more sinisterly, as he picked up a chainsaw from the floor. He walked over to the woman, dragged her chair out of the camera's view. For a moment, the screen just showed the empty room, but the sounds were horrific. The roar of the chainsaw, the woman's screams, the sickening noise of flesh being torn apart. It was all too real. We sat there, paralyzed with horror, as the sounds finally died down. Then, Santa walked back into the frame, his suit and face now splattered with blood. He leaned in close to the camera, grinning.
"Subject 12 deceased. Merry Christmas."
The tape ended abruptly, leaving us in stunned silence. My heart was pounding, and I could feel the cold sweat on the back of my neck. Buck was the first to speak, his voice shaky.
The numbers on the tapes, they're not just tapes, they're women. He's numbered them as his subjects.
We couldn't stay in the cabin another minute. We grabbed our things and left, not bothering to contact the owner. It was obvious that whoever rented out this cabin had something to do with these tapes, these murders. We drove straight to the nearest police station and handed over the tapes. What we learned there made my blood run cold. The tapes reopened an infamous 30-year-old cold case, the Christmas abductions. 15 women had gone missing in those woods or along the nearby highway, and no one had ever found them. The cabin's owner was questioned, but he denied knowing anything about the tapes. Whoever the man in the Santa costume was, he was still out there, living free, with no remorse for the lives he'd taken. That night changed me. Now, every time I see Santa Claus, I don't see a jolly man bringing gifts to children. I see a monster. I hear the screams of that woman in the cabin, the grinding sound of the chainsaw, the twisted grin on that bloodied face. And I know that no matter how hard I try, I'll never be able to forget it. So when Christmas comes around, while others are hanging up stockings and decorating trees, I'm double-checking the locks on my doors and staying as far away from anything that resembles Santa Claus as I can, because I know the truth. Christmas can be a nightmare, and Santa is its darkest figure. It's been 10 years since that Christmas Eve, but the memory of it still haunts me like a shadow that never leaves. I was just a kid back then, only 8 years old, and still reeling from the loss of my mom. She'd been everything to me, the warmth in our house, the laughter in the air. When she passed, it felt like the world had lost its color. That December, I did something I've never told anyone. I wrote a letter to Santa, asking him for just one thing, to bring back my mom again. I knew it was silly. I was old enough to doubt Santa's existence, but I was desperate. I wanted her back so badly, it hurt. On Christmas Eve, I placed the letter on my windowsill. But that night, as I lay in bed, something strange happened. A shadow appeared on the wall, growing larger and darker until it took the shape of a man. No, not a man. It looked like Santa, but not the jolly figure I'd imagined. This shadow was tall, looming, its eyes glowing like embers in the darkness.
Santa?
The shadow nodded, though it didn't speak. I was terrified, but also hopeful. I didn't know what was happening, but I felt like my wish was about to come true. The shadow stretched out a hand, and suddenly she was there. My mom, standing at the foot of my bed. I could hardly believe it, but something was wrong. She wasn't the mom I remembered. Her skin was pale, almost white, like rice paper. Her eyes were dull, lifeless, and she didn't smile or speak, just stared at me with an intensity that made me shiver. But I didn't care. She was here. She was real. I jumped out of bed and hugged her, but she didn't hug me back. Her arms hung limply at her sides, cold as ice.
Mom, you're back. I missed you so much.
She nodded slowly, her movements stiff. I tried to talk to her, to tell her about everything she'd missed, but she barely responded. When we went down for breakfast the next morning, she sat at the table, staring at the food but not touching it. I couldn't wait to see Dad's reaction, but it was strange.
Dad, isn't it great? Mom's back!
He looked at me, confused. Ethan, what are you talking about? That's when I realized that he couldn't see her. She was only visible to me. As the days passed, my mom started asking me for strange things. She wanted locks of my hair, bits of fabric from my clothes, even my favorite toys. Every time I gave her something, she seemed to become more lifelike. Her skin gained a faint blush, and her movements became smoother. But with each gift, something darker crept into her eyes, a twisted gleam that scared me.
Mommy, why do you need these things?
She didn't answer, just smiled a smile that didn't reach her eyes. And every night she would whisper to me in a voice that was not quite hers.
Soon, Ethan. Soon. We'll be together forever.
One night, she told me that we were going to celebrate her birthday. She led me to the living room, and what I saw there made my blood run cold. The room was filled with symbols I didn't understand, drawn in chalk on the walls and floor. Candles flickered in a circle around us, casting eerie shadows that danced like living things.
Mommy, what is this?
She smiled again, that twisted smile, and began chanting in a language I didn't recognize. The room seemed to close in around me, the air thick with the smell of burning wax and something else, something rotten. As she chanted, her voice deepened, became distorted, until it wasn't her voice at all. It was something ancient, something evil. I tried to back away, but my feet wouldn't move. I was paralyzed, held in place by some invisible force. The symbols on the floor began to glow, and I felt myself being lifted into the air. My arms and legs were pulled taut, as if by invisible ropes, and I hung there, helpless, as my mom. No, the thing that looked like my mom transformed before my eyes. Her skin peeled away, revealing something dark and twisted beneath, a creature of nightmares. Its eyes glowed white, and its mouth stretched into a grin.
No, please stop!
It laughed. I knew then that this wasn't my mom. It was some demon, something ancient and terrible, wearing her face like a mask. Looking back, I now realize that I was probably its final offering, the last piece it needed to fully enter our world. Just as it was about to strike, the front door burst open. My dad stood there, his face pale with shock. He took one look at the scene before him and ran straight at the creature, clutching a silver cross in his hand.
Get away from my son!
The creature hissed, recoiling from the cross. My dad grabbed me, pulling me down from the air, and we ran. The thing that had been my mom screamed in rage, but it couldn't follow us beyond the circle of symbols. We left the house that night, never to return. We stayed at a relative's place for some time before Dad shifted to a different city. He went to the house just once to gather our belongings, but he remembered that there was nothing there. Whatever that creature was, it was gone. I don't celebrate Christmas anymore. I know for a fact that Santa is not real, but something like Santa is, just that it grants you wishes of a darker kind.